the Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. From 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio, we relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Thank you for joining us. Today is May 25th, 2018. It's 8 o'clock in the morning here in Eugene, Oregon, and it is a gray day. I haven't been out, but it doesn't look too cold. So thank you for joining us. We really appreciate everybody here, and we appreciate KEPW.org. You can find them online. Or 97.3 here in Eugene, Oregon, the Springfield area. I think it goes out for quite a long ways. Like if you're out in Coburg, you can still get it. We really appreciate you carrying us. Last night I was driving around from my niece's house. It was about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. Must have been 10:30 because it's from 10 to 11, I guess, or 11 to 12. It was at 11 to 12 because I left my niece's house at 11. There was Jerome Hebert on the radio show. That was pretty interesting driving around. So welcome, Jerome, to our show today. We really love having these Friday roundups.
Yeah, I enjoy this too. Thank you, Lonnie.
Yeah, so today, right before we started the show, I said, hey, I have my book of changes. I want to just open it up and see what the universe message is to us today. So when the intro happened, I waited a minute, you know, you and I will pause for 30 seconds to kind of calm our energies down, right? So this is what I opened up the page to. It was hexagram 47, Ka'un, which is oppression or exhaustion. This is a very interesting reading. The joyous or the lake is above, the abysmal and water is below. The lake is above, water below. The lake is empty and dried up. Exhaustion is expressed in yet another way. At the top, a dark line is holding down two light lines. Below, a light line is hemmed in between two dark lines. The upper trigram belongs to the principle of darkness, the lower to the principle of light. Thus, everywhere superior men are oppressed and held in restraint by inferior men. The judgment, oppression, success, perseverance. The great man brings about good fortune, no blame. When one has something to say, it is not believed. Times of adversity are the reverse of times of success, and they can lead to success if they befall the right man. When a strong man meets with adversity, he remains cheerful despite all danger, and this cheerfulness is the source of later successes. It is that stability which is stronger than fate. He who lets his fear be broken by exhaustion certainly has no success. But if adversity only bends a man, it creates in him a power to react that is bound in time to manifest itself. No inferior man is capable of this. Only the great man brings about good fortune and remains blameless. It is true that for the time being, outward influence is denied him, because his words have no effect. Therefore, in times of adversity, it is important to be strong within and sparing of words. The image.
Hallelujah.
Listen to this. There is no water in the lake. The image of exhaustion. Thus, the superior man stakes his life on following his will. When the water has flowed out below, the lake must dry up and become exhausted. That is fate. This symbolizes an adverse fate in human life. In such times, there is nothing a man can do but acquiesce in his fate and remain true to himself. This concerns the deepest stratum of his being, for this alone is superior to all external fate. I feel like saying, can I get a witness? That was pretty powerful, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That really speaks
to what we're learning. Use your words wisely.
Yeah. And this is the thing about us letting... For me, a lot of this Fuku movement, the Fukushima awareness movement, is not about getting... Everyone wants the facts. Like you and I talked about this. I posted a Facebook. I actually had an article. This was weird. I was reading an article on an online journal, and it had this article. They were dumping radioactive water into the ocean, and they're moving ahead. We've been talking about this. The Diet in Japan last year passed a law that said, yeah, and the fishermen have been fighting it, and they've recently negotiated. You'll read this, like sometime in May or July or something, they started like negotiating with the fishermen. So now they're saying, okay, as long as it's only treated, they've convinced the farmers that the treated water is not that big a deal, and it's been there anyways, and we're going to let it out at a slow rate. So they are going to dump. And the articles were written a few months ago. So, but this was an article, a blog, right? I think it was called let me see what the title of it was. It was Como or something like that. Doggone it. Let me see if I can see it. Well, this is on Wired. I found this one. This was on Wired. Fukushima's other big problem, a million tons of radioactive water. They're talking about how dumping it. The IAEA has basically suggested that they dump the water. That's why the consideration is given. This is not something that they've cooked up. Japan urged to dump radioactive waste into Pacific Ocean by nuclear experts. This is November 2017.
Yeah.
So they have suggested...
They wanted to do is to hold the water there long enough for the tritium to decay, but they run out of room. And besides, there are thousands of tons of water flowing through the reactor buildings, over the cores, and out to sea every day, 24/7, especially this time of year when there is 7 feet of snow melting up in those mountains above those power plants. And that 7 feet of snow will end up running down the mountain through the power plant and out to sea. That is a huge, giant plume of contamination. And what they're worried about is the tritium in the water that they're storing. And also, from what I understand, because they have ruptured fuel elements, they now have cesium and strontium as well stored in those water tanks. Those are biggies.
Listen to this paragraph in this article. Listen to how they're framing this in Japan. They're saying experts. They have not said which experts. I know which experts because I read another article, but they're saying experts in this article. And then he's going on. Now, this is written by The Independent in the UK. This is The Independent writing this. So The Independent didn't finger the IAEA. They just said experts. And then they're talking about how the fishermen are fighting back. And this is what they're saying. He and consumer advocacy group Kukuku Tatsumi sit on a government expert panel that has been wrestling with, listen to this, the social impact of a release and what to do with the water for more than a year with no sign of resolution. That is, this is the interesting way that they talk about it. It's actually not true. They do have a sign. The IAEA told them that they need to be doing. It's growing by 150 tons a day. That's the amount of water they're getting. So they honestly can't keep doing it. They have to release it. Tritium from the 1979 Three Mile Island accident in the United States was evaporated, but the amount was much smaller and still required 10 years of preparation and three more years to complete. Wow. Well,
yeah, it's like truly either. I don't want to sound negative, but dumping that water is like putting a turd on a poop sandwich.
Yes, you know? But the thing is, the issue is not that. The issue is, what are we going to do with it? You see, they are going to do it. They have to do it. This is the reality of nuclear science. They have this nuclear waste. And yes, it was in its infancy, and they have created huge mistakes. I'm not saying that nuclear can't be a fabulous energy source if they solve the problem of fixing the contamination they've already caused. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous that we're creating one more drop of this stuff any day.
Agreed.
You know? Throwing the water, they're going to have to throw the water in the Pacific Ocean. That's a given. They're creating, what did they say, 150,000 tons a day. Like, what are they going to do with it? Build towers of radioactive water?
Right, exactly.
I don't think so. And Japan is very little. You know what I mean? If that's the case. And the downside is they can't go into the forest to store it there because it's too contaminated. It's very contaminated in the forest there.
Yeah, it's way worse than the Chernobyl woods in some places. They've actually determined that it's less, you have a higher chance of radiation exposure in Japan when you live near a forest than you do if you live away from the forest.
I honestly think the I Ching gave us the advice that we must, and that is kind of the what I do adhere to. It says, when a strong man meets with adversity, he remains cheerful despite all danger. And this cheerfulness is the source of later successes. And it is that stability which is stronger than fate. And that's what I mean. I often say this, and I've said this to my children. Your thoughts are things. We can have, I learned this going into business for myself 18 years ago. You can have what you want. You get what you want. It's a real thing. Those self-help books that you manifest the life you want, you do manifest the life you want. And you can change things. I mean, I was told by doctors I was going to be really sick all of my life. Like just, I was going to get old and cripply. You know? And I reversed my health. I got healthier. You know what I mean? I got rid of the arthritis that plagued me in my early adulthood, the severe arthritis and the severe female problems. I had very severe female problems and I had intestinal problems. I was like, I was a wreck because I was a child of trauma. My body systems had broken down, my adrenal glands. That's what Dr. Bob said when I met him. He's like, you're not broken. Your internal organs are deeply depleted because you've been in a state of trauma from the time you were born. And your adrenal glands constantly squeeze when you're living in that environment for a long time. You drain your system. So you just have to learn to love yourself and take care of yourself. Loving yourself means refusing to eat hideous food. That's what it means.
That's part of it.
You know, like we all make concessions in this environment that we live in, but we don't have to make that many. We don't have to say, oh, well, you know, it's just because it's there. It's like taking pharmaceuticals. I won't take pharmaceuticals, honestly. Unless I absolutely have to, like if I don't know, get dental work or something, you know what I mean? Like when I broke my knee,
yeah.
But And, you know, the thing is, there's things that you can do to heal yourself so you don't need those things. We don't need to have the inflammations in our body, that the nerve endings when we get banged up. It's not just, oh, that's permanent pain. That's what the doctors tell me. Oh, that's just permanent pain. No, it's not. I'm able to, I found people here in Eugene, Oregon who understand the body well enough to help me not have pain for my incredible, you know, injuries that I had, like on my feet and my knee. So I don't have permanent pain, even though the doctors, this is what I mean about facing the nuclear story here, because we are living in the Manhattan Project. I'm going to come back to this because we are still, the Cold War didn't, they revived the Cold War recently. The Cold War is on. It's, you know, and we're in World War III, like whatever, you know, the whole thing is like, it's all just gone to, you know, in a handbasket. It's just not a good scene that we got going on here. That doesn't mean that it can't be really awesome once we come out of this, because this cannot sustain itself. It will collapse in on itself. Because it, and hopefully people with integrity will speak up and save democracy. See, for me, I believe in democracy. And I think we need to talk about our democracy. We need to talk about the fact that part of this oppression that's going on is that we are not demanding our democracies back. Oh, well, the politicians are bought off. Well, you know, let's unbuy them. I heard last night from Mark Rabinowitz, who's an activist here in Eugene. He has his own blog. I'm going to have him on Tuesday. I'll let him, you'll hear all about him. But he said that Ron Wyden, Jeff Merkley, and Pete DeFazio are all behind the SMRs. That was news to me. The small nuclear reactors, that they all support them.
Right. Yeah.
So I am going to write a letter. I am going to write a letter and ask for an appointment about the SMRs and really bring home the point that, A, we don't trust them, we don't like them, we don't want them, and neither does anybody in Oregon. And I'm going to find out. I want to have a sit-down. Like, we went and had a sit-down with him about the Columbia Generating Station. That was very interesting.
Right.
You know, I mean, they basically, this, the person that we met with, he basically said, Dan Whelan, he said they had never really thought about how close the Columbia Generating Station was to Hanford. They didn't realize it was that close.
They're, yeah, like, they're within each other exclusion zones. If there's a disaster at one, the other one's going.
Yes, that's a stupid thing.
They're within each other's exclusion zones.
You know, and
that's just, there needs to be one big exclusion zone around the whole thing and shut one of them down.
Exactly. You know what I told him, Jerome? I told him I call that the proximity factor. Because it is 12.7 miles away. The Columbia Generating Station at the Columbia Gorge, which here in Lane County, we get, I think, 2 or 4% of our electricity. And we're mandated. We get our power for the Bonneville, from the Bonneville Power, and they don't have to take this. And in fact, the Columbia Generating Station is mandated to operate in the black, you know, to always have at least a profit or break even. It's been losing money. I gave them
half a billion a year, right?
Yes. And we gave him a zip drive, actually, of all of the documents that we wanted to share with him about the danger of the Columbia Generating Station being right next to Hanford and why it's urgent that we just shut that nuclear plant down, that one. I don't care. I don't, for me personally, there's a lot of them around, but that one I think presents a unique danger to the entire Northern Hemisphere because of the proximity factor to Hanford. Because if something happened at CGS, something would happen at Hanford. And frankly, Hanford's such a fecocted mess. We have no idea what, we have this idea of what we think, but I think it's, who knows where those tunnels are, where they've buried stuff, where they've dumped stuff. You know what I mean? I guarantee you they're saying, oh, well, nothing that's in danger that could blow up is near Hanford. And I am not buying that. I don't believe anything that, you heard your story yesterday, the downwinder. Here we are. We see two-headed sheeps all the time.
Yeah, that was normal. As boys and Boy Scouts, we used to go hunt mutated sheep or mutated squirrels, remember?
Yeah.
Mutate. It was an epiphany for him because it was normal. That was what it, the way it was. He thought
that they were
just mutated squirrels.
That's right. And did they eat them or did they just shoot them?
Yeah. They caught them and they ate them.
Right. And that's exactly.
And he's the one that ate ice cream and had milk in a daycare center, and it gave him a big enough dose of iodine in his thyroid gland to where 9 years later he became paralyzed, and they had to do a thyroidectomy in order to get him so that he could move again. Yeah, that was that guy. He woke up one morning. He was at four years old in the daycare. They gave him the ice cream and the milk. And then I think it was, I can't remember how many years later, but he said he was 19. He was an all-star athlete in high school or in the first year of college, and he woke up one morning and he couldn't move. He was paralyzed. And they couldn't figure out why. And finally, some University of California doctors had a look at his case and said, well, that's a thyroid issue. He's got thyroid problems. And so they removed his thyroid gland, and that allowed him to start moving again. But that just shows you that one good dose of radioactive iodine affected this guy's entire life for the rest of his life.
I wonder if he was able to have children.
And he didn't know it until... I doubt it. He didn't mention that, he adopted. They adopted kids.
Uh-huh. I bet he was not able to have kids.
I would not be surprised if he did.
This is the thing with a person who's exposed like that, who has, you either cannot reproduce or your children, like I heard a woman from Chernobyl, right? Her parents were super happy. I heard this on Radchik's show a long time ago. It was when I first paid attention in 2012, and it hit me like a brick. I think it was Radchik or Libby Halevy's show, one or the other. But the lady said that her parents were really happy because she showed no signs. Like all her friends were getting sick. Their hair was falling out. Their teeth was falling out, all that stuff. And they started to have really severe problems. She did not have that happen to her. They were like really happy. They thought she got over it. She did get flus and colds more often and stuff. But when 10 years later she starts trying to have a baby, she keeps having miscarriages and miscarriages and miscarriages. And she does have a baby. She has a baby that has severe problems.
Yeah.
And then the baby actually died or something. It was a real heartbreak story. I think the baby died or it had really severe problems, dramatically changed her life. And it was, she's like, here I was, we thought I had gotten through it, and no, it follows. And that's how it goes. And Helen Caldicott has talked about that, right? So the question is, how do you stay cheerful through this? And like, we're going to be getting these bits of, they're normalizing the radioactive contamination. Like, we don't even talk about, this is one of the things that's interesting when I talked to that health physicist about 3 years ago, I guess, from St. Louis. He kind of scoffed at me. He laughed. He's like, you don't understand how much worse it really is. There is so much tritium. There's so much chemicals and pollutions in our water. Like, people are getting sick because we have a very toxic, polluted water system. The water that comes out of our pipes, nobody should drink that water, to be honest. That's just not what should happen.
Isn't that sad?
Yes. And one of the things we can do is take it back, but take care of yourself. Get yourself a water filter, even if it's like a little... You know, over-the-counter water filter, you can put it in your sink in your bathroom, and then you can have water. You know what I mean? Like, you just have to have, you have to make a point of not drinking that water. That's all. Just say no. I mean, we have, and this is the interesting thing that I've done, Jerome. I've attempted to get engaged with the water board here, and I don't get phone calls back. My water board electives don't reach back out to me when I leave messages.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean I'm not going to keep leaving messages. I'm going to keep leaving messages, and I suggest other people contact their water board members and start getting engaged in the water issues, because water is life. Jana has a show on KEPW. You know, the same station that's carrying this very podcast is going to be carried tonight, I think at 11 o'clock on KEPW, because we're aired. Now, today's Thursday. I don't think we're aired on Thursday. We're aired on Friday. This is Friday, right? That's how confused today's I am. How busy. Today's Friday. I'm having trouble keeping track of the days because of my work schedule. So I'm like, what day is this? But I think it's going to be aired tonight. But she has a show called Water is Life, and they talk about the importance of life, of water, because there's a lot of water protectors here fighting these corporations to keep their filthy hands off of our water.
Yeah. Well, we have a water treatment plant right down the street from our house. And it smells horrible over there, by the way.
Where is it? What do you mean there's a water treatment plant near us?
Yeah, it's on River Avenue.
Oh, okay.
You go down to
Yeah, I know where
right.
River it's Avenue is. But I did not know that. So that's a water treatment plant down there.
Yes.
Huh. And maybe so we should take a little visit down there. I did not know that. We should make a personal visit and ask for a tour and see how they treat our water.
Yeah.
We could report on it on our radio show.
I like that idea a lot.
I like that idea a lot because that would be very interesting to see what goes and how they deal with how they would deal with the outside. Well, we would be considered media because we're going to talk about it on our radio show. That's the thing. We're considered media in a way because, like, we're public because of this radio show. We're considered the media.
Yeah,
so they give us a different kind of a tour.
Well.
Right. What did you say as well?
Well, that we're because of anybody who publishes on YouTube and is pretty much in the alt media now. YouTube, Facebook, all these organizations, Twitter, are all part of the alt media, the new media that's arising. And that the new media that's rising is going to be an intrinsic part of the decommissioning of our nuclear power plants across the United States.
And actually the restoration of a lot of our, what we consider about our inalienable rights. Jeff Cohen was talking about this last night. I went to go see his documentary, All Governments Lie. He's sponsoring some fundraisers for KEPW this week. And actually, he's going to be at Mozzie's on Monday night, and in case anybody wants to make plans, on Mozzie's from 5 to 9, anybody that goes in with a coupon you download from our website at kepw.org, you can walk in, and they will give our radio station 30% of the proceeds. So I'm just going to plug that really quick. But Jeff Cohen was talking about this last night at his movie. After we watched this movie, All Governments Lie, and there was a question and answer session, and he's like, look, we are the alternative media. We're the people. Now, there's people who disagree with each other. It doesn't matter, but the deal is facts matter. And we can find the facts, but the mainstream media, the Rachel Maddows, the Fox News, all those people, you think Rachel Maddow is going to report on the treated water that's going to be dumped into the Pacific Ocean?
No.
Like, what is really more important, Stormy Daniels or treated water?
Russia, Russia, Russia.
Poisoning the world or Trump's infidelities?
There you go. All of that is gigantic.
See, the thing is, the reason that Trump's infidelities matter is that he paid her hush money. I'm not saying it's not a treasonable offense, because that was against... He broke a lot of campaign finance laws. He broke a lot of election laws. He really was quite illegal in a lot of his activities. And these people that say this Mueller trial is going to come to nothing, I think they are seriously wrong. Last night, Mitch McConnell saw the documents in the Mueller case and said, I support Mueller. I think he should keep going. So they saw something that made them know that this is a real investigation that's not over yet, but it is a tight-lipped. The reason we think that there's nothing there is because they have not leaked. There's nothing coming from them at all. That means they have a big case. When you have something big, you keep your trap shut.
Yeah.
So we're
well,
in this time.
First
so I'm not saying that these reports on television should not be covered, right? What I'm saying is they're not going to cover the contaminated water being dumped into the ocean, or the fact that there's downwinders, that we heard a podcast on television or on the radio that said, hey, there's downwinders from long ago in the 50s saying that they were shooting two-headed sheep.
Yeah, guys losing the entire herds, remember, some years?
Yeah, but this is the argument of the pro-nuclear gang, is that they have cleaned that up, that's dissipated, that it's not no longer contaminated, that's just how nuclear runs.
Yeah, they want us to think that nuclear is, if you don't pay attention to it, then you're not affected by it.
This article on the tanks in Japan says TEPCO starts a new tank every 4 days.
Yeah. That whole situation is going to get worse and worse and worse as the years go by. They still can't even get close to Unit 2. They can't even get in the building of Unit 2 or Unit 1. So it's been 8 years and they still can't even get in the building to have a look and see what's going on. They don't know what's going on with those kids.
Well, they have little cameras. They can go, they know what's going on. There's nothing. It blew up.
They know they're melted. They know that they're melted.
Humans still can't locate hundreds of tons of fuel inside the nuclear reactors that suffered meltdowns in 2011, but maybe robots can. Cancer rates spiked after Fukushima, but you shouldn't necessarily blame the radiation. This is the UK writing this. Oh, this is Wired.com. This is the response, the radioactive response. But nuclear energy still carries major risks. Do they outweigh the benefits in a rapidly warming world? This is just so outrageous. You can't blame the radioactivity on Fukushima. Hello? Yes, you can.
Yeah, cancer spiked right afterwards. What they're saying is that it's a lifestyle thing, and that's what the nuclear industry is using to deflect from the issue of cancer and nuclear. They're saying, well, it's smoking related, because the cancers are ironically enough similar to the same cancers you get from smoking or alcoholism or bad lifestyle choices. And so what the nuclear industry is saying, well, this is all just bad lifestyle choices, bottom line. So it's not related, because according to our data, and I talked about this on my show yesterday, that there is no relevance between these types of cancers and radiation because of our data, which is derived from single dose data that they accumulated over the years from the victims of Nagasaki and Hiroshima in Japan. You know, that's where they're getting their radiation induced cancer evidence from, is from that. If it's not from that, then it doesn't exist to them.
That's outrageous.
Well, it is true. You know, it is true that we are at the behest of a group of people who really, really don't care about us at all.
I think it's even beyond that. I think they're having a massive experimentation. This article from The Independent ends with this statement. It says, some experts have proposed moving the tanks to an intermediate storage area or delaying the release until 2023, when half the tritium that was present at the time of the disaster will have disappeared naturally. Wow.
Right, exactly.
Wow.
But you see, That's not mentioning the strontium, the cesium that's in that
water. That's what I was just... Do you know, scientifically, can they filter out the plutonium, the trontium, the cesium, strontium, and cesium? I think they can filter...
They can filter out the strontium and cesium. They depose it, but not all of it. You're still going to have a little bit there. And plutonium... I doubt there's any plutonium in that water, but there's definitely strontium, cesium, iodine they cannot filter out.
What do you mean you doubt really? There's any? Why do you say there's any strontium in the water? I mean,
why?
Plutonium.
Because the water is flowing over melted nuclear fuel, and melted nuclear fuel is
loaded. Why do you think there's no plutonium in the water, though?
Because there's pretty much no plutonium anywhere on the site. By degrees, you could say there's no plutonium. Of course, there's plutonium spread evenly across the entire planet. But that's not what we're dealing with there, particularly. What we're dealing with is strontium, cesium, radioactive iodine, you know, products that are really dangerous and bad and long-lived. You know, cesium is horrible. So is strontium. You know, and they like to get into the atmosphere, and they like to float around and get absorbed by things. They mimic other vital nutrients, and that's the terrible thing about a lot of radioisotopes is they mimic vital nutrients that organisms need, and so organisms suck them up. I mean, literally, organisms like iodine. For instance, it gets on the grass, the cows eat the grass, it goes into the milk, and then the kids drink the milk and they get the iodine, you know, and so the iodine doesn't just go through your body and flush, no, it goes to your thyroid gland and it lives there, it stays there, it accumulates, you know, and strontium, cesium in your muscle, in your bone, they accumulate in your body. And the dose, and you won't know it until, like the guy, that downwinder we were talking about earlier. It took, from the time he was 4 till he was 19 for the effects to hit. But they hit, and he got what he calls the Hanford necklace. They have a name around the Hanford area for people who have thyroidectomy scars on their necks, and they call it the Hanford necklace, Lonnie. That's how many of them there are. But the government is keeping all of this really quiet.
I'm sure.
And
I'm sure they don't call it that now.
Connected. Yeah, they do. Yeah, that's what they call it. Look it up. Look up the Hanford necklace. You know, and do a Google image search. I'm sure you'll find lots and lots of them.
You know, I wonder what their rates of cancer and you know thyroidectomies is up in the Richland, that whole Hanford area and that whole area up there. Wow.
Well,
so this is what they're saying. So what they're proposing is that they can keep these, they can filter the water out from the cesium and the strontium and then put them in tanks and let them sit till 2023 and then release them into the Pacific Ocean. The problem is, every 4 days, they're building a tank, right?
Yeah, there's no way to deal with that water.
Yeah.
It really isn't. It's almost worse to let it accumulate and then dump it all at once versus just let it be a turd on a poop sandwich, more or less, you know, going out to ocean. Their ice wall didn't work. You guys,
They knew it was not going to.
It's a Pandora's box, and it's open now, Lonnie. It's an open Pandora's box, and the demons and everything else are flying out, and there's really nothing that we can do about it.
I don't think so. I refuse to accept that, Jerome. There's stuff we can do about it.
We're going to get into a highly radioactive nuclear plant and clean it up. How do you do that, Lonnie?
Well, I don't know. We don't have the solutions yet. That doesn't mean we can't find the solutions.
I'm not saying we can't find the solutions. I'm saying we don't have any way to do anything about it right
now. Not right now. Exactly. So that means that what we have to do is people who are aware of it and willing to speak about it is help people understand that it is vitally important to eat healthfully, to exercise, to keep your body, you know, as you know, walk every day, do exercise, like make sure you get some exercise in every day or 5 days a week. Don't just, because that's when your body is stagnant, when you're putting a lot of sugar in your body, you are an attraction for cancer and disease. Disease, that's because your body and your organs aren't functioning right because they're being bombarded by chemicals, like eating plastic food, eating packaged food. Is in this time of Fukushima, like, you know, don't we all love fish? But I'm not going to eat fish myself personally. It makes me sad to think that I can't eat fish, but I'm not going to eat salmon. I'm not eating fish. I don't believe that anything they're going to give us in the fish zone, because fish does matter, especially the John Goffman said that, you know, the fish that comes not out of the ocean, but out of the rivers. They actually magnetize magnesium, the cesium, 1,000 times. I went back and looked at the book. It's not the ocean fish that do it. It's the ones that swim out in the ocean and then they go into the rivers. That's why this I would venture to say if we tested a salmon, that would show some level of higher level of cesium because of it. Not, I don't know how much higher, but I bet it would show something higher.
Yeah, and a lot of the salmon are swimming out to sea and then not returning. Like a huge, huge number. We're losing, I would say at this point it's safe to say that salmon are an endangered species.
So are humans.
Whether they want to admit it or not. No, humans are thick. We're thick as flies. But we could go from that to nothing in one generation. Think about that. You know, think about if in one generation you lost half of the human population, how that would affect the other half and how the whole thing would fall apart. It wouldn't take much. And I think that's one of the things about humanity is we're so sure of ourselves and we feel so secure and like nothing could happen to us. We really believe that. You know, we believe that our civilization and our America is great and the best country there's ever been in the world. And we're just a speck in the time space of the continuum of the world. And 200 years is almost nothing when you look at the length of the life of a country, you know, and we're due. You know, just like any other country, we're no different. You know, we are maybe devoted to a certain freedom and idealism that the rest of the world isn't, but we can fall just as quickly, and it wouldn't take much more than one generation worth of time.
I think that we're devoted to that freedom in name only, because otherwise we would not have Trump as president. People would have stood up in arms. Thing is, people don't object. I mean, even right now, the Democrats are demonizing the Bernieites. You know what I mean? People are like, oh, you know, they have learned nothing. It's the same thing with the nuclear industry, which is why we got to get our own personal houses in order. Like, we have to learn, we have to think about.
Well,
I think it's important. Like, I am going to contact Pete DeFazio's office about these SMRs. I am going to write a letter. I want to go in and ask them. I want to have a sit down and talk to them about the SMRs. I want to make sure they are firmly 100% against all funding for small modular reactors, period. No more nuclear reactors anywhere in this country at all. We have plenty of other ways to use it. They can use the reactors in business. They have enough for war. We do not need it, period.
Yes, and now my further research has determined that even though they do it anyway, the pits in nuclear weapons do not need to be reanalyzed and refabricated every 4 years. They do probably to keep the industry alive. You know, they've got
alive. You mean rich?
Yeah, and also, but keep in mind that the getting a fission, fusion explosion to work is a very complicated matter. And if those bombs aren't absolutely perfect, they'll go too fast or too slow. If they go too fast, then they'll blow apart before they fission and fusion correctly. It's a weird combination of you've got to go fast, but you got to hold back until the full power builds, and then you release it. That's the way that a nuclear bomb works, and it's very complicated. And so I could see them thinking, well, we're going to make sure it will work, and there's only one way, and that is to rebuild the whole damn bomb every 4 years. Pull it out of the warhead, take it apart, put a new pit in it, retritiate and deuterate the linings, you know.
Then you're saying that they actually just do that for profit. It's not necessary.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure those nuclear weapons will work.
Of course they would. That's what Chuck Johnson was saying. That's what Chuck Johnson was saying. He's like, yeah, they'll work. Like that's what they're saying. They're just liars. Like, and that's why I don't trust the SMRs. To be frank, what is the scientist? Is a Japanese scientist? Chris Busby talks about him. They discovered that the whole Hiroshima, Nagasaki findings from the U.S. government were completely falsified because they threw out the control group because the control group made the point, exacerbated the showed extremely high how radioactivity causes severe harm and will remain in severe harm. And so they just threw out the whole study. They threw out the control group, and they got another control group that had been exposed, and then they reassessed the equation so that they could develop their study.
Those are the numbers, Lonnie, that they use to determine cancer risk to this very day. That's the information.
So see, these kinds of statements, when I'm talking to people, like, this is the thing, like, When I posted that thing about Japan is going to release millions of tons of water into the Pacific Ocean, there is an article where they said that they can dump that water. They are being encouraged to dump the water. The IAEA, look, I bet you 2-1 the IAEA has its recommendations right on its website because they have them. I mean, this is the thing. Now, can the Japanese government implement this as quickly as they want? Because the Japanese people are definitely fighting back. That's the other question. They are standing up, you know, as much as
they
can.
So, you know, the company that kiboshed the plutonium plant at Hanford?
Mm-hmm.
They messed it up? Well, they got a $9.9 million incentive bonus from the Department of Energy for their work. It would have been more had the radioactive contamination not spread. These are the guys, they got a bonus for polluting off-site with plutonium. Remember that? There was 30 workers that went home with plutonium in their boots, on their clothes, in their cars. Went home with this stuff. Went and hugged their families and threw their coveralls and clothes in the laundry with the kids' laundry. These people made $9.9 million bonus. And so why aren't we up in arms about that? And this is from the Yakima Herald. Is where I'm getting this. And the date is May 22nd.
The Yakima Herald? The Yakima Herald?
Yeah. Siege 2M Hill. Got it. 89% of the possible $11 million incentive pay for the fiscal year 2007. Because they got in under schedule. Didn't matter. It doesn't matter. What did they get? Instead of getting $11 million, they got $9.9 million. And somebody probably got fired over that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I said this before. They're incentivized to make mistakes because it's only about making the deadline dates, not getting the maximum thing perfect, you know? Like, that's the issue.
Right, because it's become a capitalistic endeavor. We need to socialize the nuclear program. It needs to be completely gone over and contained and handled by the government, and the government needs to hire people to do the work. They don't need to hire contractors to hire people to do the work. The government needs to have citizens involved directly who are hiring other citizens who are actually concerned about the health and welfare of the citizens, not the health and welfare of their corporation. Because CHM2 Hill doesn't give a damn that how many people are now going to get cancer because of the plutonium particles that they sent over the fence 10 miles away outside the site containment area. They were finding plutonium dust from this plant. And that was just the auxiliary buildings of the plant. They had to quit. They had to stop. It's like, well, cover it with foam and hopefully it doesn't blow too much more in the wind.
May 11th, 2018.
That's on a balance sheet. What are the odds that somebody's going to get cancer from this? One in 450,000. That's an acceptable risk.
Yes, okay. It is.
We are on a balance sheet. Yes. And we are a number. We are not an individual and a person in the eyes of this industry and of these people. And that's because it's been taken out of our hands. It's been taken out of the hands of the people and given to the corporations. And corporations do not give a damn about the health and welfare of the people, except as it affects their bottom line. Okay.
Yeah, we got that, Jerome. That's like old news. Hello? Hello? That's like you're not saying anything none of us haven't heard. Even Barack Obama kiboshed the Occupy movement. He came in and brutalized the Occupy movement and squashed people's hope that we could actually actively engage our government. That's what that was about.
Right.
Around the same time that TEPCO happened, they had to squash the Occupy movement because of the nuclear explosions in Fukushima. Because if we had had an invigorated public who was actually actively engaged, millions of people would have seen right through the, oh, it's safe, don't worry about it. A lot of Americans live right next door to nuclear power plants. In fact, the one at Columbia Generating Station is identical, is exactly the same design, not identical because none of them are identical, but the same design as the one that's in Fukushima.
Yeah. And that may be the same type that now has control rod issues. Control rod issues yesterday that a bunch of different reactors, all of like probably 30 reactors that are operating of the 100 that we have this huge control rod issue wherein the guide sleeves on the control rods can become jammed during operation. Which means that you will have a jerky control rod action, or maybe they'll get caught and you won't be able to get them in or out effectively. That could cause the localized fuel failure. Maybe not a full core meltdown, but it could cause a hot spot enough to where you lose part of a fuel bundle. Because that happens quite often. And I think people don't realize that either. Those pretty Zirk Galloway clad tubed things, when you pull them out of the reactor sometimes and they've gotten too hot, they'll melt in the middle or on the edge or crack. The cladding will crack. And when that happens, then all the nasties that are in there get out. Okay, that Zirk, somehow magically that Zirk alloy cladding retains the strontium and the cesium and everything within that fuel rod. But as soon as that cladding goes, then all of that can get right into the atmosphere. Radioactive iodine gas, it must just bubble out of the, if you were to break a fuel rod in the water and watch it, it would probably just bubble like it was boiling the water and tons of gas would come off of it if it's hot. So yeah, you know, and those small modular reactors, terrible idea. You're right, Lonnie. You know, I've done a couple YouTube videos on them. And they are a Fukushima in a can. And they're going to be putting 10 or 12 of them in one big containment and try to control 10 or 12 of them with one controller.
Well, they have to build them. The idea is to build one, and then if they need more, they build a second one. And so the whole idea is this fake idea that we're going to only build as we need them. They plan on building them all. I mean, it just makes it...
Europe's already building them.
Think about it. With 12 separate facilities, they can really bilk the government if they have 12 separate projects on one site. Instead of one big, gigantic one, they'll have 12 different smaller ones where they get to seriously bilk the government.
Us. Not the government. Us.
Yes.
Lordy, yes. Lordy, Lonnie.
Yes. And
well,
you know what that
I
means?
I won't shut up.
What?
I won't shut up. Just like the downwinder guy yesterday.
We're not asking you to, but like the Book of Changes said this morning, Jerome, we have to be careful about what we say. We can't just like, for me personally, I'm sick of like bombarding people with this. It's these corporations that are oppressing us. And no, like tell us something we don't already know. We're living that life. It's World War III. It's on. We're done. We're there. So let's figure out how we're going to get active and how we're going to put our positive energies and raise the vibrations. Because honestly, this is how the hate machine, the Trump hate machine, the reason Trump was swept in the way he was. I have said this a long while. I think he was Pinochet 2.0. I think they figured out a way to sell this guy to the American public and really race bait and misogyny. It's just all that worst part of what has built America to go against the good part that has built America. Because some of the best values, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We believe in equality. We're constantly pushing for our democracy to work better and function better. That's what this whole, people are demeaning the Russiagate thing and saying, oh, there's nothing to it. That's not true. Russia did interfere with our elections. Russia did help Donald Trump get elected because they were able to influence the minds of people intentionally doing this. It was, and then on top of it, you have the corruption of the Democratic Party sabotaging the only candidate who could have won and beat everybody else. So it was a concerted event. It was not, one-sided. You know what I mean? Now, do I think the Russia investigation will disclose the truth? No, it's just like the JFK Commission, the 9/11 report. They're all effing liars, you know. But something's going to come of it, and we have to fight for our democracy. It's up to us. We are the alternative media, and we do not need to back down.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I will not go quietly into darkness.
Well, what we have to do is figure out, you know, I'm going to see my elected officials. I invite you to join me when we can. We can coordinate on that since you live in town. I mean, this is the thing. We need people, and people especially listening to this in Eugene, Oregon on KEPW, and thank you for carrying our show. If you hear this on the air, get actively engaged. Wouldn't that be awesome if we had, like, people from every city making appointments with their elected officials to talk about these issues? And sit down for half an hour. Yeah, see what... I mean, it would be a little bit of a pushback. That's what got St. Louis. They started listening because people organized and demanded it. So we have 35 seconds, Jerome.
All righty. Well, Lonnie, thank you very much.
I'm sorry I talk so much. I apologize to our listeners also that I seem to monopolize the air, but I... guess I need to have some of my own time so I can vent, huh? Put your courage feet on, you guys. You know, we really appreciate you listening to us, and we will talk with you soon. Bye, Jerome.
Bye.
Yeah. We'll talk to you guys later. Thank you, Jules, for KEPW and UCY.TV. Thanks a lot.